Brooklyn.
Good morning, good morning. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is New in New York. I am your host, Susan Russo. And today I am being joined by someone I think is pretty cool. It's Brad Lawrence.
Hello.
Brad is actually, he's a storyteller. He's a performer. He hosts lots of shows around the city. Just an all-around good guy. He's also a teacher, which is how I know him.
Yes.
He taught me how to tell stories.
Yes. And you were very good at it.
Oh, that's okay. We're done. That's right. Why I brought him here.
All right, we're good.
All right. So I'm excited to talk to Brad because we actually kind of came from the same place, sort of.
Yeah.
The Missouri Midwest.
Right.
So Brad, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm now
I've got all kinds of horrible things in my throat the minute the microphone's on.
As soon as,
but yes,
exactly. It's how it works.
Absolutely. So my apologies to whoever has this microphone after me.
We'll clean it. I promise.
Right. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear your stories. But we're going to start out with one of the songs you picked, which the Stones, Rolling Stones are classic.
Yeah.
Iconic group, and I think it's a good way to start our Tuesday morning. And Brad's going to kind of tell us why he picked it after we play it. So we're starting out with Miss You. Enjoy.
Thank you.
I like it. I like it. That's how I like to start Tuesdays.
You okay. And America.
Okay, so what does that song mean? Like, how does that connect to your...
That was actually, and this may be entirely apocryphal. Like, before I came from Missouri, as you said, but I lived in D.C. for 4 years before I moved to New York.
Okay.
And I loathed D.C., and I was very happy to be leaving Washington, D.C. And, and this might be entirely apocryphal, but I had heard that Some Girls, that album, was the album the Stones wrote and recorded when they moved to New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, well, this will kick it off. Like, I'm gonna get Some Girls and just listen to it obsessively in the 3 months before we moved to New York.
Got it.
And I did. And it was very satisfying.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
The Stones were a very satisfying band, but that's an interesting connection. So how did you get from, D.C. to here? What brought you here? And when was that?
It was in 2002, and ostensibly the notion was that I was going to come here and be an actor, and my girlfriend was going to go to Columbia Law, and one of those things happened. You know, she Fred didn't go to Columbia Law.
It's not exactly, you are an actor, though.
I'm a performer, yeah. I mean, I make my full-time living in the arts, and that's fantastic. Yeah. I wouldn't say that, you know.
Yeah.
One thing they don't tell you about acting, and they should tell you about acting, is that you really have to enjoy auditioning.
Okay.
It can't just be about acting. You've got to get something out of the audition process. You've got to get something out of that competition part.
Okay.
Because if you don't, you're not going to do it. Because it's like 85% of the job. And so if the competition part, if the part of like going out and pitting yourself in a sort of emotional pit battle with these other people is something that you can find some kind of pleasure in,
okay,
that will keep you going forever.
That sustains you.
Right.
Okay.
But if you're not that kind of competitive person, which I am not,
okay,
you're just never going to do it.
Was it like, so when you got here, you had been acting before though?
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you have an expectation of when you came to New York? Like, what was your expectation when you came here as an actor?
That's the thing, is I don't really think I had much expectation. You know, the girlfriend in question is now an ex-girlfriend.
As it happens.
Yes, yes. And I would say, if there's someone who's like, what happened? I would say what neither of us realized when we got together in St. Louis. We were together 4 years before we moved up here, 5 years. Is that I possessed no life skills.
Oh.
Whatsoever.
Oh.
At all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
and
wow.
I was, yeah. And she, you know, I was 24 when we got together. She was 21. And neither of us knew.
Like how to be an adult?
Yes.
Okay.
Like at all.
Okay. Well, that has to make DC and New York fascinating. Like you're learning. As you go?
Fascinating, traumatizing.
Okay.
You know? And I mean, I guess neither of us had any life skills. We were both very young.
But you could like do the dishes.
Yeah.
Sort
kinda,
of?
Maybe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, but like I had, St. Louis is a different place. Like St. Louis is basically, St. Louis has an infrastructure in place for people who are drinking themselves to death. Like
good
there's
point.
Like that's what it's there for.
Yeah. You know?
And at least when I was there, which was like 25 years ago, but it was a very easy place to be and be drunk and just kind of work a shitty job and just kind of
that was life.
Party all the time.
Yeah.
Which is what we did constantly.
Yeah.
And then but you go to other cities and other cities it's like, oh, like you have to make
productive.
An effort and be ambitious and know, and you can not just be ambitious, but like know how to make ambition into a practical set of steps.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that
and
makes
that's
sense.
That's what I had none of.
Well, so did you go to DC because of school for?
Oh, that was just following the girl.
That was just following the girl.
Yeah.
And then the New York. You guys made that decision together.
Yes, that was a joint choice.
Okay.
Yeah, D.C. She had left for D.C. I had met her in her final year of of college, and she had left for DC, and she was in DC for a couple of months, and she called me at my coffee shop job.
Yeah.
And was in tears because she was 21 or 22 and she didn't, you know, realize what she was getting herself into and neither did I. And she was like, I really miss you. Can you come to DC? And I was like, no problem. And I hung up the phone and went and sat down next to the owner of the coffee shop outside and said, well, this is my 2 weeks.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. But so when you moved to, you made this decision to move to New York, had you been here before? And did you know, like, what kind of world you were getting yourself into?
I had been here before. And like about 3 or 4 months before we made the choice to move to New York.
Yes.
Not even that, like 2 weeks before we moved to New York, I had come up here and just spent a night basically just doing drugs at the Pyramid Club. Like that's what, and that, so if you want to know what my expectation of New York was, it was that.
Okay.
Like I was going to come up here and do drugs
and have
at the
best
Pyramid
night of your life, like every night.
Exactly. It was just going to be random people giving me ecstasy.
Well, wouldn't that be fun? And it was all good ecstasy. Okay. So that's kind of, which is a funny, I'm going to play another song and then we're going to get back to this. But that's a funny thing I want to talk to you about. It's like moving here and like coming here on a trip or a vacation, how different that, like, your harsh reality once you realize that, like, oh shit, that's not really how it works.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on that note, we're going to play music from your era, The Strokes.
Yes.
Who I guess just announced a new album.
Did they?
I think so. Huh. So maybe you can just relive your 2002 days. I'm sure your wife, Cindy, would appreciate that. So we're playing Last Night because it's a jam. We're doing it.
Last night, she said.
have to say, it just kind of leads me to this. If you want to keep hearing music like this and talks like this, we need your help. Because Radio Free Brooklyn is turning 5 this year. And we need to raise $25,000 so we can continue bringing you commercial-free independent radio for another 5 years. So we've started this Drive to 5 fundraising campaign. And because we think raising money should be fun, each month we'll be bringing listeners fun challenges with some great prizes. This month's challenge is a quiz to find out just how well you know Bushwick. The top 5 scorers will win a limited edition 5-year anniversary Radio Free Brooklyn t-shirt. Please enter New in New York as your favorite show when taking the quiz, and I get a prize as well. And I love prizes, and I love t-shirts, so take the quiz. So go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/drive-to-5 to make a donation, find out more information, and take the quiz. Okay, again, this is New in New York. You're listening to me, Susan Russo, talking with Brad Lawrence.
Hello.
Who was telling us about his expectation of New York being a ecstasy-fueled all-night party machine.
Pretty much. That's what I... Yeah.
Before he got here, he's like, that's what I'm going
to
do.
He's like, I'm going to act in between taking like all the drugs random people on the street will give me.
I mean, what an ideal life.
And actually, I mean, like, for a while, like, all the drugs random people would give me.
Yes.
That was actually... There was a period where that was very easy to acquire, but, you know.
Well, so when you got here, you guys moved here, and your ex-girlfriend at the time was going to go to Columbia. So were you... Where did you go? Like, where did you move to when you got here?
We moved into Columbia housing.
Okay. So you were upper...
Yes. And that was... People, okay, and she said this to me before we even moved up here. She was like, you know, I read a statistic that 80% of relationships don't survive the first year of law school. And I thought she was asking for reassurance. She was citing precedent. She's a great lawyer. She was like laying the groundwork for
this
what was going to happen.
Probably going to work.
Right. And it did not. And that first year was not drug fueled at all. Like, that first year was just kind of... Like, we were living up near Columbia. She was going to Columbia. I was in Columbia housing, working at a bookstore near there.
Okay.
And just, and I had not anticipated the fact that I had one friend.
That's it?
In New York.
So you had your girlfriend and one friend.
And the one friend was in Brooklyn.
Oh, wow. So that's not really convenient.
No. And when you live in New York, Columbia to Brooklyn seems far.
Yeah.
When you first get to New York, Columbia to Brooklyn is the difference between like Botswana to Amsterdam. Like, it is
so,
you know,
far. Yeah.
And I would do this thing where I had to like get out of the house and see somebody. So I would go and I'd ride down and hang out with Mike, and we'd go drink in Brooklyn. And then afterwards, Mike was always like, why don't I just crash on the couch? And I had this notion, because I knew by this point the relationship was in trouble. Like, it just, like, immediately shit started to go south. We just, and it just, we had a little, like, 2-room apartment that was just, it was us and the mountain of tension and then her workload.
Oh.
And all of that in this apartment and a cat. And it was like,
Spatially, that's what I think is interesting about New York, because when you get here, usually, like, if you come in your 20s or what have you, early 30s, and you haven't established yourself, you live in these places that are very not conducive to a healthy relationship.
No, not even slightly.
And you throw in law school, and you throw in a cat, and you throw in, you know,
loneliness and despair. Yeah,
no friends.
And all that kind of stuff. And I had no idea, like, where to even start on being an actor. Like, I had... No one had prepared me for that. Again, no life skills, even for anything. The fact that I could get a job and maintain that was kind of a miracle in and of itself. I would ride down to Brooklyn, I would hang out with Mike, and then I would ride back. And at a certain point, like, it just got to be this sort of horrible ritual of like self-abuse, just riding back on the one train. Because after post 9/11, there was this weird thing where like the one train was going to Brooklyn, and so it'd be like all local all the way, and...
Oh, God, that's like, how many stops would that be?
Like 1,000. And wow. But then it would just like quit a chamber seat and just like dump you out at like 3 or 4 in the morning drunk, and you'd just sit there and sweat in Chamber Street. And it was just so painful, and I was so lonely and just always so drunk. And I had this thought in my head that I had to go home like going home, like being there was how I would save the relationship. And actually, the relationship probably just needed like more space generally.
Yeah.
But I kept thinking like in order to like save the relationship, I need to be actively be there. Even if that means like riding home at like 4 a.m. or whatever.
And being completely incapable of conversation or communication.
This is, here we go. I'm riding back on the one train one night I must have been like trying to transfer from the Q for some reason. So I was on the Q train. I remember this because it was Union Square where the stop was. But I'm riding and it's like 3 a.m. and I'm drunk and I'm lonely and I'm depressed and I'm just so beaten down. And I look up and I see this girl, like a few, you know, sort of sets of benches down on the subway. And she looks like someone who used to come into the coffee shop that I worked at in St. Louis.
Oh.
And I'm looking at her and at this point, I'm just so lonely and so super desperate just to have anyone look at me and like have that look of recognition in their eyes.
Yes.
Like, oh, I know who you are.
Yes.
Like, I know who you are and we have a history and we can talk about it. And like my history with this girl was chatting over the counter. And we didn't even necessarily like each other. Like the chats we had were kind of like
superficial.
Like, oh, I find you a little off-putting. I find you a little off-putting too. Like, but you know, but
here's
still, just the idea of like seeing someone who was familiar, and who knew me from some other context,
right?
And I'm just staring at her, like trying to figure out. And all I have is binary. I'm like, is it her? Is it not her? 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 And then I have no idea. I was drunk. I have no idea how long I was trying to figure it out.
Okay.
Like staring at her, trying to like figure this out. But it must have been a long time because we get to Union Station and the doors open and she suddenly stands up, plants her feet, points at me and goes, I know what you are doing and I will not be intimidated. And then she gets off the train. And I thought, that was her. And I was like, the one person I know in New York not only does not know me, they think I'm a stalker.
Oh my God. But that to me, okay, so you are giving me dream content because this is exactly like, not that I want you to have a miserable, I'm sad that you had a miserable experience. But I just think it's healthy to understand that you aren't you weren't the only one who went through that time of being like, I just moved here with a girlfriend who I don't think we even like each other anymore. I know one person. And the exciting part of this is you figured it out. So I'm curious, how long did it take you? Actually, we should play another song and then we're going to move on.
Do
because
it.
I like this very much.
Okay.
Okay. So next on our list, we have, ooh, this is fun. The Yeah, Yeah, Yes.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
I think this one's long.
Yeah. that was an era.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. We're an independent, listener-supported radio. This is New in New York. I'm Susan Russo. We're on with Brad Lawrence today, who's a master storyteller, which I hope you're hearing as we go along. He knows how to tell a good story.
Thank you.
It's his job. That's what he does. So, yeah. But anyway, we were just getting on the topic of, I mean, it sounds miserable. Like, your move here sounds miserable. So I'm curious, how long did it take you to grow to enjoy or like or appreciate the city? What was that like? How was the timeline for that?
You know, it was the breakup with the girlfriend was like, I don't know. Well, the breakup with the girlfriend was inevitable.
Yeah.
But it caused me to, I left Columbia, the area, I left Morningside Heights, which is where Columbia is.
Okay.
And it was, you know, that was a godsend because I ended up moving.
Seems isolating. If you're not going to Columbia and you, it just seems isolating.
It was college bars and college kids and just like, and I had no part of any of that.
Right.
And she had this whole world that was completely sucking her in. And, but the last thing that happened was that she got a summer internship in Budapest.
Oh, wow.
And then, like, we bought tickets for me to go to Budapest at the end of her stay in Budapest, the end of that summer.
Right.
So, the last, 2 weeks of Budapest. And I'm living in our little tiny apartment with the cat. And I am completely alone, aside from Mike, who's in Brooklyn. And I am and it's like the rainiest summer you've ever seen. There's a song I gave you for, one of the songs I gave you was There Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone. I was alone in this apartment.
That's literal. That's literally you.
Well, and also there was an Apple, market around the corner from our place. And
an Apple market?
Yeah. It was it's a bodega, but it's a particular chain of bodegas.
Oh, Apple. Right. Yeah. Got it. I thought you meant like it sold only apples.
No, like a bodega, but, I would go to the Apple market to get supplies for my lonely existence in this little, you know, apartment. And I'm just miserable. She's like, internet's not then what it is now.
Right.
So emails came kind of, you know, it was a little spottier and there's also stuff going on that I didn't know yet, but would find out later, but whatever. but I would leave the apartment and go into the Apple market to get the same sandwich every day for God knows how long, my misery sandwich. And every time I walked in there, as if they knew I was coming, I would walk in the door. Ain't no sunshine when she's...
It was on?
Yes. And it's like raining outside and I'm just living in this apartment, like staring out this window at Harlem.
Is this a true story?
Yes. And it's like constantly raining and the song played on an endless loop. And it was just like, why Apple Market are you trying to... I feel like it's like a social experiment. Like, can we drive this kid to suicide?
How many plays of Ain't No Sunshine does it take to get Brad Lawrence to lose his ever-loving mind?
Right. He's in the ninth floor of that apartment all by himself. It's just, you know, one quick step out that window.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Anyway, now answer the question. So then, how long did it take?
Oh, well, when the breakup finally came.
After you broke up.
We broke up in Budapest.
You did.
Like, when I went. We kind of broke up before to be entirely, I hacked her email, but she'd hacked mine.
Wow. Yes. Okay. So this relationship was healthy.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It was very healthy. Yeah.
Definitely healthy.
She had hacked my email. I hacked her email. We hacked each other's emails after we broke up. Like our dysfunction lasted longer than the relationship and the relationship lasted all total 8 years.
Wow.
It was kind of like the one thing we can probably still agree on is like, wow, we were really brought out the dysfunction in one another in an amazing way.
That is like special.
Yeah. and that's how I found out about a Serbian boy named,
oh Lord.
Yeah, exactly. I had bought an $800 ticket to
Budapest.
Were
going. Yeah.
And we were poor. And like, we didn't spend $800 on something that we were not going to use.
Right.
That didn't happen.
Right.
So I got on this airplane and I got on the airplane thinking, we'll work it out. We're going to work it out. We'll work it out. Get on the airplane. When I get there, we'll work it out. We broke up on the shuttle ride from the airport.
Oh, wow.
And then we had 2 weeks to travel around Central Europe together.
Oh, you guys stayed, like, you traveled together
still?
There's
nothing else to do.
Wow.
I mean, I guess I could have, like, wandered off by myself. But again, no life skills.
Oh,
that would have
been
me in a gutter and somewhere in Prague.
Yeah, that's wouldn't be here today, probably.
No, yeah. I would have been mugged and rolled by, you know, some Russian mafia.
Okay, so you break up in Budapest. You get back to New York, and you're like, I'm moving out.
Yeah, and my friend Mike, his brother, who was his roommate, had just decided to move in with his girlfriend.
Oh,
and so that his spare room came open, and I was like, I am desperate and sad, and you have taken me in when other girls have dumped me, so why not do it again?
So then there was a whole big lifestyle change. Where in Brooklyn was it?
That was in Prospect Heights.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a whole new world.
It was a whole new world, and Prospect Heights at that time was right near DeKalb, and at that time, the only bar on DeKalb was Soda Bar.
Okay.
And there was nothing else. It's still there.
That's what I thought.
Now it's surrounded by 1,000 other schmancy places.
Yeah.
But at the time, Soda Bar was the only thing for miles around.
Okay.
And it was really awesome. It was everybody. It was everybody, every little group that lived in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
All shared the only bar. And there was like a big West Indian community there and a bunch of like poor artist types and, you know, people who were just
beginning
families.
That's like the real New York is when so I think like finally you moved to this Prospect Park and you left a very unhealthy relationship and you saw New York through new eyes.
Yeah.
And that, and so once that happened, did you fall?
I was a happier drunk.
You were happy. Okay.
I mean, it took me years to like acquire life skills and get and like actually be a functioning human being.
Okay.
But I did start to like enjoy the city and enjoy myself.
Yeah.
And have other experiences and be happy about being here.
Okay.
Like that was kind of the start of being happy about being here.
Okay.
As opposed to like wondering, you know, because it's like I've made a huge mistake and I'm miserable where I'm at. But the only worst thing is going back to St. Louis.
Right.
And it's like, what do you do with that?
I wonder how many people stay here because of the fear of the failure of not being able to make it in New York or the fear of going back to where they came from, which is the last thing anybody wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how many people in New York are living that life right now and saying to my...
Oh, yeah.
So we'll just use this. I know it's not exactly the right way to use it, but let's just say it gets better. Like, it gets better.
New York gets
better if you... And it gets worse again, but then it gets better, so...
I worked a moving job for a while.
Okay.
When I was living in... My first guy here. Do you have time for this story?
Of course I do.
Okay. One of the jobs that I... When I was trying to support myself as an actor, I worked a moving job. Being a mover in New York is...
Not easy.
No, it is brutal. It is.
Brad
being,
is not a big guy. He's tall, but he is not a big guy. Just FYI. Okay, go ahead.
But it is being like the middle guy on a 5-floor walk up, and it's 120 degrees outside, and you know 130 in the unventilated, unair-conditioned stairwell because everyone moves in the summer, and it's totally brutal.
Yeah.
And so I was doing this, but at some point, I ended up foremaning. I was a foreman at the moving company. They promoted. I was able to get there on time and relatively sober. So, promotion.
Yeah.
I'm doing this and I got a work order one day for a guy in moving from the village to Williamsburg. And we get there. My entire crew is there. We go up to the third floor where his apartment is. And he buzzed us in and left the door open for us. We get there and we open the door. And it is so obvious we are on the bad side of a breakup. Like there's nothing in this place, like three pieces of big furniture and like most of his stuff's in garbage bags and, you know, old crates. And he's just in the corner, like drooped in the corner, the saddest hipster you've ever seen. He is just like gray and ashen. It's brutal. But at some point I was like, okay, all right, this guy's, we gotta, you know, like he's not in a good place.
Yeah.
We gotta get this done fast. And so I give my guys their assignments and I'm wrapping the large furniture and making conversation with him and I'm doing this. And he's sort of looming behind me, like, you know, the ghost of all broken hearts.
Oh.
And I'm like wrapping this table. I'm like, so are you gonna miss the neighborhood? And he goes, no, I never liked it here. This is my girlfriend's favorite neighborhood, but now that's over.
Oh, God. Like, oh, boy.
And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, I've got to say something to this. Like, I've got like, I'm just like, he's just there, just like staring at the back of my head. And I've got to like say something. And so finally, I just like started talking about when I moved to New York. And how brutal it was, and how when the breakup came and I moved to Brooklyn, and now I moved to Brooklyn, I found my bar and I found my friends and I met people, and like it became like a real home to me at that point. Like, I got, you know, I started to know people and found like the places I wanted to be, and New York kind of became like an experience that I was enjoying.
Yes, this is
and
good.
I'm, you know, laying all this out, and then I just stop, and there's just silence, just the sound of, like the tape coming off the roll, and then this little tiny voice behind me goes, "So it gets better."
Cute.
And I was like, yeah, man, it does. Aww. He was a changed man for the rest of that move. I mean, I'm sure there were dark nights ahead. Yeah. The rest of the move, he was like, let's go to Williamsburg.
You know? You helped fresh start somebody. This is why this city, you know, you'll just meet someone and you don't think you'll meet, like, will the mover change your perspective on life? Not what you, no, but they can.
And I got to save a poor bastard. Yeah.
You did. Okay. If you enjoy listening to content like this, which I know you do, and you want to have access constantly, 24/7, be sure to download our apps, our mobile apps. You can find them for iPhone at the App Store, or for the Android, go to the Google Play Store and just download the shit out of Radio Free Brooklyn and play it. Great content, 24/7. Free content 24/7. And on that note, I want to play a song to celebrate this single, newly single boy from, what year was this? 2000 and...
Oh, for me or him?
For him.
For him? Yeah. Oh, that was really like 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, this is a little late, but we're going to play Hot in Here by Nelly because we're celebrating his success and moving on. So Hot in Here, like all the R's.
Hair,
that's right. Yeah. Hot in here. Hair.
Hot air. So hot in here. So hot air. As bodacious, flirt.
Oh, sorry. We were so busy talking about how old we were that we forgot to pay attention. Oops. That's what happens. Brad, you've been here for what? Like, you got here in 2002. How many years is that then?
Yeah, it's 18.
Wow.
Longest I lived anywhere.
Are you staying?
Yeah.
Okay.
My wife will never leave.
Okay. And we'll talk about it in a second, but let's talk about Nelly real quick.
Oh, because, yeah, the reason I put that song on the playlist is because one of the first things that my girlfriend and I did in New York, her best friend, who, like, after college, her best friend had gone to London, was in town visiting.
Okay.
And so we decided we're going to go. We'll take Emily out to on the town, and we'll hit, like, an art gallery. There's somebody that my girlfriend knew was having a show. One of their friends in common.
Even if you're miserable in New York, there's always something
to
do.
There's always something going on, yeah.
Yes. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
And so we go to this art gallery, and it's unair-conditioned. And it's the middle of summer.
Ugh.
And so we're standing in there, and like the show is getting good traffic. So there's like a lot of people in there. And my girlfriend wanders off to find somebody. So I'm standing there with her best friend, Emily. And it was the summer that like that song had come out, and that song was everywhere. You could not walk by an open car window or a restaurant without hearing, "It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes." Like, it's everywhere, right? It's just ubiquitous. I hear it in my sleep.
Oh, God.
And we're standing there looking at the art, just me and Emily, the girlfriend's best friend, and she says, "It's getting hot in here." And so I go, "Well, take off all your clothes." At which point, she looks at me, and the look on her face says, "Why is my best friend's boyfriend soliciting me to take off all my clothes? This seems very inappropriate."
Well,
and I'm like, "What?" And she's been in London.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh God, no! It's a song. It's everywhere." I'm like panicking. And then the girlfriend comes back, and I just turn around and I look at her and I go, "It's getting hot in here." And she goes, "Well, take off all your clothes."
And then you're like, "I've made it right." That's really funny. I think that's like songs of iconicness. But anyway, also, I think it's funny because I do want to take off all my clothes in the subways. The subway platforms every summer here, I'm just like,
"You won't be the first.
I'm going to take off my pants. Is that okay? Can I take off my pants?" I don't. I haven't yet, but there is. I've been very, very, very close a few times.
No one will notice.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know.
They'll forget about it, though. They'll notice, but then it'll just
be like
another
thing they saw in New York.
Just a blip.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're listening to New in New York on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm Susan Russo, and our hour with Brad is coming to an end, and it makes me sad. So Brad is very, like I said, he taught me how to tell stories, which was a miracle.
You were a very good student and very enjoyable.
Well, I'm a weirdo, so it provides
that's what made it enjoyable.
Entertainment for some and annoyance for others. But you do a lot of performing as well. So what's going on? What's next for you? And
the next thing up is, well, I should say, I'm a story producer for the Risk podcast, and Risk
that's so good.
That's on the fourth Thursday of this month.
Okay.
But this Thursday, my wife and I
which is Valentine's Day.
No. Friday's Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
This is the 13th.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. But my wife and I run a burlesque show called Hotsy Totsy Burlesque. It's at the Slipper Room, and
ooh,
it is
fun.
A fully scripted high camp comedy burlesque show. Every month we send up some pop culture property, and this every February for the past like 5 years has been our send up of Disney.
Ooh, makes sense. So, I like it.
That's what we're doing.
What have been some Thursday. Other ones you've done though?
We do a lot of nerdy stuff. We do a lot of like Doctor Who.
Okay.
We do a lot of Star Wars. Every December is our send up of the Star Wars Holiday Special, which aired in 1978.
Oh, I was like, what is that?
Yeah, it was signed off on by Lucas, and he just like wandered off somewhere, and they hired the the writers of the Carol Burnett Show.
Oh, wow.
To make this thing, and it starred Bea Arthur, Art Carney, and Chewbacca's family.
Oh my God, this is a miracle.
Yes, and the first 20 minutes are in Wookiee with no subtitles.
Okay.
And it is one of the most astonishing things you will ever see. And there's a reason you've never seen it, because they tried to get rid of all the copies.
Okay.
But
can you still find it?
Yeah,
YouTube's got it. Okay, Google that. That's hilarious.
But every December we send that up.
Okay, that's funny. I'm going to come to that one. So this Thursday, February 12th, 13th.
13th, yes.
February 13th at the Slipper Room, Hotsy Totsy.
Yeah.
And then every fourth Thursday
is Risk at Caveat.
Caveat, which is a great space.
It is a great space.
It really is a nice space.
Yeah, those they do great stuff there. Ben Lee is the owner, and he's a great guy, and they put on a lot of great, like, very, I've done some shows there, and they're, it's a lot of fun.
So catch Brad. Where can we find you on the internets?
BradLawrenceStoryteller.com.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, cool. I just think he's really talented. He helped a bunch of ding-dongs figure out how to tell good stories.
That was a great class. You guys were a great class. Like, well, I remember that one very fondly.
Yeah. No, you know? It was enjoyable. And, yeah, so Brad's a good teacher as well. So
thank
if you want to learn how to
thank
tell
you.
Stories, go to his site and figure out how to sign up for one of
yeah,
his...
Yeah, thestorystudio.com is... That's where you find me as a teacher.
Okay.
Thestorystudio.com.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll give me a little kickback for promoting them on this radio station.
That's the goal. That's why I have guests.
We'll
no,
out.
I have guests so we can hear the whole, like, the full circle moments. And, like, Brad has gone through a lot in the last 18 years.
A friend of mine recently told me I made some joke about being a train wreck of a human being. And she was like, you're one of the most emotionally stable people I know.
Wow.
And I was flattered by that. And I also thought there are many girlfriends who have sacrificed very much to make
to
this
help.
A reality. You know,
yeah, it's people. You need other people to help
yeah.
you become like a centered, like decent adult yeah. functioning human being.
Well, you asked me like what song to go out on. And the song I chose, Waterloo Sunset by
yeah.
the Kinks.
Yeah.
And this is another relationship that went horribly wrong, but the first relationship after the breakup of the relationship that brought me to New York.
Yeah.
It was that girl's favorite song. And I still remember her very fondly. Like, she was great. I was still a giant mess.
Okay.
And she still got, like, you know, the wrong end of that very much. But she was a saint. And she also, it was like that first realization, like, oh, I can have other relationships. I can figure this out. There's other things for me to do in New York than pine after this person or
right.
like mourn this thing.
Right.
And so.
That's all you need is
yeah.
a person that can kind of help. Well, sometimes it's yourself, but sometimes you need help and guidance. And like,
yeah.
that's the cool
we
thing about
help.
New York.
Yeah.
We all do need help.
Yeah.
So what would you say? I like to ask this because you came a person in New York. Like, you weren't
yeah.
a fully formed person until
yeah.
you got here and you've evolved over the years. What would you tell a person who is thinking about moving to New York? What's your advice for a person who is thinking about moving here? If you have,
if you've got a reason to be here, if
yeah.
there is something that you want to do and New York is the place that's the best place to do it.
Yes.
Come here, focus on that and that will see you through. And like, I wanted to be an artist. I want to be a performer. I make my full-time living as an artist and a performer now. Like,
yeah.
my full-time living is in the arts.
Yeah.
And eventually I did get my shit together to focus on that and do that. But if you can do whatever, if whatever you want to do, you can do anywhere, don't do it in New York.
Yeah.
Because the rent's too high and it's too hard and there's too many of us. So, like, only be here
yeah.
if this is the place you need to be. And if you need to be here for some reason, focus on that and like bear down.
Yeah.
And eventually this becomes an amazing place to be.
Yeah. I like it. That's good advice. I like it. So thanks for listening. We've reached the end. Thank you so much to Brad Lawrence.
Thank you for having me.
Being our guest. I very much enjoyed this. New in New York will be back next Tuesday. So tune in. And we're going to go out on the Kinks, which is, you know, we're going to do that in a second.
It just popped on as you closed it.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, radio is live. Radio is fun. Okay. So this is Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks. And again, keep listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. We appreciate you and enjoy the rest of your week.
Old river must you keep rolling, flowing into the night. People so busy make me feel dizzy.
Time.